Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 6 to 8. Hebrews 2, verse number 6 to 8. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels." Underline that. That is the word for meditation. You have made man a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Okay, now this verse talks about the order of a certain creation of God. And the Bible says that man was created a little lower than the angels. Now, what is the meaning of that? That the meaning of that is God created man in the order of the angels. In the order of the angels. Like there is a certain order of creation. The order of creation of the animals was different. The animals were not created in the order of angels, or the trees or other things of the world, or the beasts or the fishes of the water were not created in the order of the angels. The Bible says man was created in the order of the angels. And man was created lower than the angels. But the authority that was bestowed upon the man that God created was higher than that of angels, because man was crowned with glory and honor, and God put the man to be a steward over the work of his hands. Now we got to look at what is the meaning of God creating man a little lower than the angels. I told you the meaning of that is God created man in the order of the angel. That brings us to the conclusion that there is an attribute in this order of creation, which is there in the angels and which is there also in man. Okay, there is an attribute in the order of this creation. Stay with me. We are going to go into something tonight. Okay, so there is an attribute in the order of this creation where God created angels, and in that order God created man. So there is an attribute that will be there in the angels, and that will be also there in the man, because they were created in the same order. Now the attribute is that the order of the creation of angels and man that was used is the will. Write it down, the will. So that is what we are going to look at tonight, the will. Amen. Hallelujah. The angels have a will, and man has a will. That means they both have the power, the will to choose for themselves, independent of God. Okay? They both have the power to choose for themselves. Even angels have that power. That is the will. Now, it is not a man who sinned. It was an angel who sinned. And the angel who sinned, he sinned because he decided not to submit to the will of God, but to be independent of the will of God, to take his own will. Okay, listen to me. Now write this down, what I am saying, write this down. Very important. Any creature in this order of creation who is not submitted to God's will, but chooses his own will, is subject to destruction and not partake of God's eternity. Okay, let me come again. Any creature in this order of creation who is not submitted to God's will, but chooses his own will, is subject to destruction and not partake of God's eternity. Now, we got to understand that the scripture says that God is not a man. That means God is eternal. God is an eternal being. There is no beginning. No one created him. He existed from eternity. That is why we say he's the Alpha and Omega. That is a mystery. That is a mystery. When John saw him, he proclaimed who he is, Jesus. He said, "I am the Alpha Omega." Now, when you read the Greek manuscript, the original language in which it was written, the Alpha and it was not Alpha and Omega, it's Alpha and Omega. That means the beginning and the end at the same time. So there is no rule of time over him. He knows everything. Everything is before him. We are living in the space of time. We are living in the 21st century. We are reading the Bible and we say, okay, this Bible was written, the New Testament was written 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament was written 4,000 years ago. But for God, everything is before him because he is the beginning and the end at the same time. This God is an eternal God. And when he created the creation, he created the creation with an eternal perspective. Okay, to live for eternity. He created man to live for eternity. He created the earth so that the earth will be habitation for eternity. But the thing that took the eternity power from mankind, and before it took it from mankind, it took it from an angel called Lucifer, is the will of Lucifer. Anyone in this order of creation, anyone in this order of creation who chooses not to submit to the will of God, stay with me, and chooses his own will, is destined to destruction and is taken out of the eternity purpose of God. And they lose the eternal life. They lose the eternity purpose of God with which they were created. The angels were created to live for eternity, to be for eternity, ministering to God in the heavens, in the heavens of heaven, the third heaven. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? But when the angel Lucifer said, "I will rise above God, I will make my throne above God, I will ascend above the stars of God," when he chose his own will, that his own will, he did not know that it separated him from the eternity of God and destined him to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So listen to me very carefully now. The attribute, so are we understanding what the word means? You have made man a little lower than the angels. Man were created in the order of the angelic creation, and the attribute that we got from the angels was a will. It was not a human being that sinned, it was an angel that sinned. And what made him sin was because of the will that was given to the angel. Hallelujah. Okay, now we got to understand that, people of God, we got to understand that the greatest enemy of God is not Satan. Stay with me. Currently, I'm talking about the current time, the time of the world we are living in, the physical time. The greatest enemy of God is not Satan. Whereas Satan is the original and the first enemy of God. I'm talking about Lucifer. He is the original enemy of God. He's the first enemy of God. Okay? That is Satan. But currently, what is fighting God is the will of man. Write it down. What is fighting God is the will of man. Is the will of man. Listen to me. Satan, when you would say, "What is wrong when I say, I want to do it. I don't want the intervention of God. I will do this. I will do this by my might." How can it be demonic, Brother Raul? It is demonic because you are, when you say, I will do it, I will do that by my own strength, you don't take the intervention of God, you don't submit to the will of God, and you say, how is it demonic? I have the ability to do it, so I will do it by my strength. You know what you are saying is an ancient language that was spoken in the third heaven because of which an angel had fallen. And that is how the I will language becomes a demonic language, because that is the language of Lucifer that he spoke in Isaiah 14. I will ascend above the stars of God. I will make my throne as God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will become like God. Hallelujah. That is what made him fall. That is what made him fall. That is what made him a part of eternal destruction, not a part of eternal life. Hallelujah. Now, what Satan, listen to me, what Satan wants to do to you is to make you a person of I will. That is how sin started. The serpent came. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Until now, are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Let's read from verse number 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. Now I told you many times that Genesis does not mentions the devil. Genesis mentions the serpent. And the devil is actually a serpent. Okay, when I was talking about Ezekiel 8, all those creeping creatures and all, the serpent's family is a serpentine family. Okay, any which ways, let's go ahead. That any beast of the field which the Lord God has made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is also the tree of the self will, of the self power. That when one decides to eat of it, he will die. He will die. Now, when they ate of the fruit, they spiritually died, but the physical death started to manifest in them. I told you and I explained you about the process of death. Okay? When Bible said, when God said to Adam, you shall surely die. He meant to say the revelation was, when you eat of it, you are declaring yourself independent of my will because you decide to take decisions as per your will. That was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that signifies the government of Satan. And Eve partook of the government of Satan, and the foundation of the tree of Satan, that is the government of Satan, and the system of Satan is selfishness, is self, is your own will. Hallelujah. Okay, so it says, for you will surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. God is a God of his own will. He's a sovereign God. Nothing happens in the creation without his will. Okay, that is something called as the doctrine where some preachers, mega preachers, mega church pastors will say, you guys are little gods. You guys are little gods. Have you heard that doctrine? You all are gods. Now, they use the scripture which Jesus said to the Pharisees when the Pharisees were persecuting Jesus. He said, don't you read the scripture where God said to Moses, you are God? Now, the scripture that Moses, what Jesus was referring to had a context. Since Pharaoh was unaware of the unseen God of heaven, God wanted to make Moses as a God to Pharaoh and the brother Aaron as a prophet of this God Moses. But God is not saying that Moses can sit upon my throne. No, that is a blasphemy. But for the sake to show his sovereign power, what he can do for that very purpose. You know what? God made Moses as a God to Pharaoh. And that is what the scripture Jesus was referring to. He was making, because Pharisees were offended when Jesus said, I am the Son of God. He referred himself as a son to the Father in heaven and said, God is his Father. That's why they were offended. And that's why they were, so to explain them that, he explained them the scripture. But Jesus was not teaching the people that you are little gods. When we say we are little gods, we are saying that as God has his own will, we also have our own will. God created the creation not to have their own will, but the creation shall be subject only to the will of God. And only when the creation of God is subject to the will of God, man is subject to the will of God, the angels are in submission to the will of God, will they be able to live in the eternity atmosphere. Otherwise, if a person decides to have his own will, they are kicked out of the eternity plan. And they are kicked out of the plan, they cannot make an eternity creation by their own self. That's why they become a part of destruction. The secret to eternal life is doing the will of God. Write it down. We got to understand that. The secret to eternal life is doing the will of God. The will of God is also the truth of God. The truth of God is also the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. And it says, whoever believes on Jesus, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son.
Is doing the will of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And that Jesus is the will of God. Hallelujah. The word of God, the truth of God, and doing what he says to you will bring eternal life, will make you a partaker of God's eternal nature. When you do the will of God, the Bible says, you will abide forever. You shall not perish. Hallelujah. So, okay, coming back to what I said. What did I say? The original and the first enemy of God was Satan, because he chose his will. But as of now, as we are living in the world, you know, the greatest enemy of God is your will. Is not Satan. Is your will. Is your will. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? Even God cannot change a man if the man does not wills to change himself and submit to God. God cannot do it. Listen to me. This God, I will tell you the mystery how this God works. Let me take you to the example of God's plan for the people of Israel to get out of Egypt and go and settle in Canaan, right? That is God's plan. Okay, so the thing is, God's eternal plan, God's eternal destination, where he wants to take you, that will never change. It will remain the same. But his routes to reach there can change. Not because he wants to change it, but because you have a will. That's why the route can change. That route can change. Now God, I will tell you, I don't have time to go in the scripture in detail. God's original plan was that Moses will take them into the land of Canaan. But Moses could not take them in the land of Canaan because there was the resistance of the will of people there. Moses died before he could go to Canaan, and another person came up. So what I am saying is, God's eternal destination for you will never change. But his route to go to that destination will have a lot of changes. You know why? Because men, we are not ready to cooperate with God fully. That's why the root will change, because our will fights God. Do you know, Satan could not rule the world. Yes, the way Satan is ruling the world now, he could rule it because man gave his will to Satan. Man declared himself independent and started to speak the language of Lucifer. You know, you don't have to invite Satan as soon as in your life. You don't have to invite him. As soon as you say like Eve, I want to become like God. I want to eat that fruit. I want to have the wisdom of God and decide for my own. As soon as a person says that, Satan will come in their life, because that is the language of Satan that he wants you to speak. He wants man to speak. And as soon as man speaks that language, Satan comes in their life and starts to rule their life. If man does not speak their language, Satan is powerful in the world. He would have been in the corner weeping without authority and without power. But because the will of man is existent in the world today, Satan has power through the will of man. Through the will of man. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Prayer warriors, listen to me. Don't be stressed out because a person is not changing. Even God cannot change a person. You can pray, you can fast for that person. You can give all your life for that person, but be discerning. The person has his own will. Hallelujah. But be discerning. The person has his own will. The thing is, God told you, okay, that this person has to change, but he's not changing. If he does not change, the resources, the plan attached to him will be rerouted, and God will bless you or take you ahead by bringing someone else or taking a different route or different way. But you, God will take you till the destination. People around you will change. People around you will withdraw. But trust God. If you walk with him and if your will is surrendered to God, he will complete your journey. He who has started a good work in you shall also complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't trust people. They will change. Not even the closed ones. Just take heed for one thing, that you are submissive to the will of God. And even if anything goes wrong because of the will of people around you, he will change the ways, but continue to take you to your destination. Continue to take you to your destination. The thing about Abraham, that there are every you know, servants of God in the Bible, one thing about them is they completed their journey. They finished their race. They finished their race. It is not that Apostle Paul had a comfortable ministry. He was in a mega church. The air conditioning was on, and he would preach every Sunday and enjoy the 5 days of the week and again come on Sunday. And the mega, it was not like that. Paul's own people betrayed him. Demas betrayed him. I don't have time to go in the epistles, but you will see that the workers of Paul betrayed him. One of the scriptures he writes, I think to Corinthians, about the gospel that he preaches, because there was so much of manipulation. But at the end he says, I have ran the race and I have finished my course. Now I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering to the Lord. Because the will of people were fighting him, but he submitted to the will of God. And that's why he could finish the race. Hallelujah. Do you know, in the small time I had been in ministry, during the past years, many people have been in my life and many people have been out of my life. And I thought sometime God gave them to me for the call of God, the purpose of God, such a time as this. But they had a will. But the journey continues for the person who submits to the will. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. Yeah, I know, people of God, we are praying for people to change, but they are not changing. You are not Jesus who can change them. Even Jesus himself cannot change them because they have a will of their own. And if they choose that I will do this, the will is so powerful that it also fights against God, and God cannot do anything about it. If a person chooses his own will, but the thing that happens to them is they die, not instantly, but they that I told you about death. Death is not an instant incident. Death is a process. Okay? Hallelujah. Sin, it is called the sting of sin. That means, scorpions, when they sting a person, there was an article that I read that a person died and no one knew how the person died. When the doctors, after the death, did the research, they found out that one around 15 days, I don't remember, 15 days or 1 month or something like that ago, he was stinged by a scorpion and he did not even know. And that poison of the scorpion started the process of death in him. He did not die instantly. And over the course of time, that poison was releasing its impact in the body that after a period of 1 month, when he did not recognize that he is stinged with the sting of the scorpion and did not take any treatment, he died. He died. So when we don't repent and continue to, I will do this, I will do that. That is flesh. Flesh is I will. Flesh is self. Even in you know, I can do that I will even in ministry. I will do this. I want to do like this. I want to preach like this. I want to have people do this. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. That is the language of Lucifer in the very holy things of God I'm speaking. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? The greatest enemy of God is not Satan. It's your will. It's your will. The problem, 100% of the attacks and of everything that happens in our life, we put the blame on Satan. Oh, you know what, brother? Satan is against me. Satan is doing this. Satan did that. Satan did this. Demons did it. Curses did it. Witchcraft did it. Occultic things did it. Ancestral spirits did it. But look at your will, because you will to do things. That's why those things are happening. Hallelujah. So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. Stay with me. Stay with me. Let me take you to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Okay. Where did I start from? I told you, I started off with telling you that man is created in the order of angels. Okay, before we go to Ezekiel 28, let's go back to the scripture in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 2. And the scripture we were on, I think verse number 6 onwards. Yes. It says, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. So what we started off with is we were created in the order of the angels, and the attribute that is there in this order of creation, that every being in the order of creation has their will. That is why Lucifer fell. But you have crowned him, who? The man, with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Okay. I don't want to go into the revelation of the ancient kingdom of Tyre. When Ezekiel chapter number 28 talks about the king of Tyre, the prince of Tyre. There, the king of Tyre that he's talking about is not the current country Tyre, is the ancient country of Tyre, which existed even before Adam was created, because of what? Because of which Genesis chapter number 2 says the earth was without form and void because there was a great fall that happened, and that was the fall of the race of the human beings that existed before Adam. And I don't want to go in detail. The detailed sermon on it is on the channel, and for those who want to refer to it, it's called the Ancient Kingdom of Tyre on the channel, on the YouTube channel of our ministry. So you refer to that, but I'm not going into that. But the thing is, listen to me. Now, Lucifer was a multitasking angel. Okay? When you read Ezekiel 28, he was the covering cherub. That means where God sits, he was covering God. He was so close to God. Then he was the most beautiful angel, and Lucifer was more beautiful and more authoritative than that of Michael and Gabriel. He, maybe, it's not scripture, maybe he was the angel that God made him the best angel. That is what the Ezekiel book describes. We will come to that scripture. Okay, stay with me. Okay, he was multitasking. You know what? When in your company or in the church, someone has powerful gifts, someone can sing nicely, and that same person has leadership qualities, the same person has can preach, has the revelation of God's word, you know, that same person has the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what you will do is you will give him multiple tasks. You will make him a multitasking, like the Cricket World Cup is going on in India. And a player that can bat, that can bowl, and that can field is a multitasking, is a super talented player. And that is how Lucifer was. He was super talented. That is how God created him. And God loved him. Hallelujah. But, so he was the covering cherub. He used to cover, you know, like God is sitting here. And he was the closest to God. He was so familiar with the voice of God. He was so familiar how God would function. So close to God, so close to God. Then the Bible says he had the instruments. I will come to that scripture if you want to see that. The Bible also says he had 10 stones on him. I will tell you, the 10 stones means, remember the Aaronic priesthood has 12 stones. The priests who go to the temple to minister for the people. Lucifer had 10 stones. That means he was the middleman. He was like Jesus, the mediator between man and between God. Before you know, the race that existed before Adam. So Adam is the first man that is created in the image of God. But before that, there was man created, but that man was not created to have direct fellowship with God. Lucifer was given the responsibility to be a mediator. Okay? I am telling you plainly this revelation. If you want to go in detail and verify scripture, go to that sermon. But listen to me. As of now, believe and receive the things I am telling you, what I am saying. Because people would have not heard what I am saying. Lucifer was the middleman of the pre-Adamic race that existed before Adam. He was the high priest, and God bestowed the responsibility on him as a priest, that he would keep the connection between the people and God. But what he started to do is trading of souls. He abused his authority that was given, and he started to trade souls. What is trading of souls? Hallelujah. I have explained this many times. Like, I am the pastor or whatever, the senior pastor here, and K is the assistant pastor. And mostly who is communicating with the people. And I have entrusted her with a great responsibility. Okay. To keep the people connected to God, to lead them to Christ. But what she starts to do is, starts to go to people like Vetonia. You are 3 years, but Pastor Rahul did not give you the worship leading ministry. That is wrong, you know. He's not a good pastor. You know what? I am planning to open another ministry. You come and I will make you a worship leader and the leader of the church. So you come. That is the trading of souls. He started to do with people of that time, abusing his authority. And he started to bring the souls to himself. And that is where Isaiah says, one of his desires, listen to that desire. Isaiah, are you with me, people of God? Are you understanding until now? Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter number 14. See what Lucifer says. See there what Lucifer says. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse number 13. It's about Lucifer. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the what? Congregation. That means I want to become their God and they should worship me. Which mount of the congregation? At that time, Adam was not there. Those people to of whom God gave the responsibility to Lucifer. He wanted to become, you know, he started to get fascinated the way people are bowing down before God and the way the Lord God rules over mankind. He started to become fascinated and he started to covet the position of God and he started to trade the souls. Now let's go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 28, Ezekiel 28. Mm-hmm. Now, all those things I was saying is there in the scripture. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. That is the ancient, that kingdom was called the kingdom of Tyre that existed before Adam. Okay, ancient kingdom of Tyre. Who was the king? The king was Lucifer. And say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, the topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. 10 stones if you count it. Okay, I told you what is the meaning of it. There were stones on him, meaning he was the high priest. He was the middleman between that people and God. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So there were timbrels, pipes, musical instrument attached to his being. He was the covering cherub. He was the middleman, the high priest, who had the responsibility of the people to connect them to God. He was also the person who was a worshiper. He had the music anointing. He had the worship anointing over him. He knew the tunes that pleases God. He knew the scales. He knows the octaves that would bring worship to God. Wow. See how wonderful he was created by God. You were anointed. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. What does that mean? You know, God is a consuming fire. No one can look at him because the form of his being is fire. So he was so close to God that he was also dealing with the holy fire, fire of God. If you want to know about the form of God, there is the consuming fire sermon on the channel. I cannot go everything in detail, so you have to refer back to the old sermons. Verse number 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. What? Iniquity was found in you. Now that brings us to the conclusion that the angels had a will, because no one can commit iniquity if they don't have their own will. Remember, I spoke about the King Saul. I defined rebellion. I defined idolatry, stubbornness, witchcraft, all those things. And King Saul was committing stubbornness which is the iniquity of idolatry, Samuel said. Because stubbornness is deceit, and deceit is saying, I will do my own. God, I give you no permission to come in my life. That is deceit. When you hide yourself completely from God to do your own will, is deceit, is stubbornness, and that is not called a sin. That is called an iniquity. Iniquity is different than that of sin. Iniquity is a contagious sin that can infect others. Iniquity. When you commit sin, it infected you. But when you committed iniquity, you are infecting that sin, that iniquity. You can infect that iniquity on others also. I explained you how Saul was making people a part of his iniquity by turning their heart bitter against David. He was telling, who are with me? Be with me, and all those things, you know. That is iniquity. Do you understand? If you commit a sin, only you are committing a sin. But if you commit an act of iniquity, which is a form of stubbornness, idolatry, deceit, what will happen to you is, you will not be satisfied by you alone committing it, but you will pull others to it. You will pull others to it. And then it says, till iniquity was found in you, verse 16, by the abundance of your trading. That was his sin. That was his iniquity. What he did? Trading. Trading. Okay? You know, you can go to that sermon. In that sermon, I have explained this trading was the trading of soul from the scripture. But tonight, we don't have time to go there. Trading is bringing people, betraying your boss and bringing the profit on your side. You know, this softwares I've upgraded. I do like this, a thumb come. I do something, the balloons come and all those things happen now on the software. So don't look at those things. So any which ways, he was trading. He was, you know, the Bible says Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. The mighty hunter before the Lord. When you understand the meaning of it, he was not a mighty hunter of animals and bring a sacrifice. He was a wicked man. He was the originator of Babylon, that king Nimrod. And the mighty hunter before the Lord, the meaning of that is he used to hunt for souls. He was the Lucifer on earth. He was the Antichrist of that time that built Babel. Antichrist is not coming only in our time. Antichrist has always appeared from Genesis. The real will come at the end, but the one in the book of Revelation. But okay, any which ways, not going into that. But the hunter, the trader, the trading of soul was his iniquity. So always be careful that even if you commit sin, like you got angry, and then you can go and ask forgiveness from God, right? You got angry, or you thought something against someone that was bitter. You can, that is a sin, that you can go ask forgiveness from God. God will forgive you. But be careful that you don't commit iniquity. That is a stubbornness, a deceitful sin. Because when a person commits iniquity, iniquity is infectious, is contagious, is transferable. It can be transferred. And that is what Lucifer started to do. First of all, the iniquity that he committed was what? I will ascend above God. I will make my throne like God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will is iniquity. I will is the sin and the iniquity, like stubbornness and that of deceit. And when Lucifer committed that sin of I will, he started to infect other people and even the one third of the angels with the iniquity that he committed. Your will is dangerous. Your will not only destroy you and take you to hell, but your will take other people to hell. When a pastor, when a priest, when a servant of God starts to say the language of Lucifer, that is, I will do this, I will do that, the pastor is becoming a part of destruction. Okay, but because he is performing an iniquity, he is preaching a doctrine that is also taking other people to destruction. Remember what I said in the beginning of the sermon? Any creature in this order of creation that chooses his own will and not submits to the will of God is subjected to destruction and is not a partaker of God's eternal creation. Hallelujah. I will. When he said, I will, he was destined to be destroyed in the lake of fire. Because you don't rebel against the God who created you. And you don't rebel against God, saying, God, I am greater than you. Because if you say, I will and not your will, you will be cast off from the eternity covering of God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? Till iniquity was found in you. So what the question is, what made Lucifer sin? What made Lucifer sin was his will. Was his will, I will. He did not submit to the will of God. That is the simple start of iniquity. That is a simple start of sin. When we say, I will. That's why the book of James says, don't say, I will do this, I will go to a certain country. Say, if God's will is there, I will. If God's will is there, I will. We will come to now to the scripture. Jesus, the Son of God, did not come to do his own will. He came to do God's will. And because he came to do God's will, and he did God's will. He did God's will. That's why he brought salvation to the earth. He brought salvation not because he is the Son of God. He brought salvation to mankind because he did God's will. Do you understand the difference? Yes. He brought salvation not because automatically he was the Son of God and he should bring salvation, but because he did the will of God. He brought salvation. Okay, we will come to that. We'll come to that. Hallelujah. Okay, so that is iniquity. It started with the I will. When an angel decided to reject God's will and do his will, iniquity started and the fall started. And with him, he infected the iniquity that he committed on other angels and on other people. So angels have their own will. And when, now do you understand that word? When God created you and me, he created in the order of the angels. That means, like the angel Lucifer, we also have our will. Okay, that is the meaning of the verse, that he created us in the order of the angels. Another thing that disturbed Lucifer was, Adam was given the position he was coveting for. Adam was given the position he was coveting for. And Adam was made the steward of the handicraft of God. That is what Hebrews says. Man was made lower than the angels originally when man was made. That is the meaning of it. Angels had the authority. Lucifer was the middleman. But now God, what? Crowned man with glory and honor because the angel sinned and gave him the stewardship of the handicraft of God. When Lucifer saw that, he said, you know, Satan acts as if he wants to help you. Satan acts, when Satan speaks to you and he's speaking to you to make you say the language of I will. He was getting into a conversation with Eve because he wanted Eve to say, I will become like God. I will have the wisdom and I will do things. I don't want God. So he is interested, and he was coming to Eve. The reason Eve agreed, because she thought that this serpent is my friend and a better friend than God. He's carrying out the same nature that he did in Ezekiel 28. So when he comes to you, he comes as a friend. The way he will speak to you, as if, and you will say, "Oh my God, this serpent is my best friend." You know, nowadays in the US, I have heard the news where young people and some people are keeping serpents on their neck in their house, and they are saying, "Serpents are the best friend." Oh God, you know what? If I have to tell you this, I have to tell you this. I went to the shopping mall, I think few weeks back, 3 4 weeks back. I went to the shopping mall and I was visiting a certain brand shop, and that brand shop had t-shirts there, printed t-shirts, and the print on the t-shirts were all demonic. All those you see, the balloons are coming now. I don't know what is happening in this software. Okay, listen. So the prints of that, I think when we make some hand gestures and something, the software does all those things. Any which ways, that's a good technology. So those t-shirts were printed with all those Japanese animations, Japanese Dragon Ball Z, and all those are demonic. Dragon Ball Z, Goku, Poku, whatever it is, those are demonic cartoons. And so I was looking at it, and one of the t-shirt had the print and had something written on it. And you know what they wrote? It wrote on it that human beings lie, but the devil never lies. It was written on that t-shirt. Human beings lie, but the devil never lies. Yes, that's a product of Babylon. Merchandise there. So when you read satanic books, that is what Satan will try to portray to you, that he is the best God. He is the best friend. You know, no one can help you, promote you, prosper you, make you famous apart from him. He is the speaker of truth. That is how false prophets, satanic prophets are. But what they are doing is, he is a ravenous wolf inside. You know, when the Bible says, when Jesus said, those are ravenous wolves in the clothing of sheeps, who? The false prophets. It does not say they are wolves, it says ravenous wolves. You know what is the meaning of ravenous wolves? Ravenous wolves means a person who will take his breath of satisfaction only after killing you and destroying you completely. Ravenous in nature. A person who has this urge and demonic appetite. Like when alcoholics don't drink alcohol for one night, they will say, "Oh, where is my alcohol?" When drug addicts don't take drugs, they will become so anxious and hyper. "Where is my drugs? I want to take it." They have developed the appetite that they cannot stay without taking drugs. That is ravenous. Ravenous is when people develop an appetite where they cannot stay without destroying and killing people. Yes, that is re and devil cannot stay one day without seeing the death of one person. But he starts off with a friendly nature. Like, "Oh, God is not doing it for you. I will do it for you." That is how many Christians are ending up in witchcraft, because they don't know to wait upon God, and Satan comes as a friend portraying himself better than God and trades their soul, and their soul is sold to Satan. Iniquity. Satan is a worker of iniquity. I had taken a sermon on the worker of iniquity. I may take it in our ministry again. The worker of iniquity is one who disguises himself to be a friend, but inward they are planning to kill you and destroy you. Satan is a worker of iniquity. Anyone commits the sin of iniquity, he himself is not a partaker of that sin and going to destruction. But what he will start to do is infect others with that iniquity and take a bunch of people with him to hell. So be aware of such preachers who have iniquity. They are like Lucifer, who can take you also to hell with their doctrine, with their iniquity. Are we understanding? So iniquity was found in him. Let's go to Isaiah 14. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will. That's the language of Lucifer, and that's the language of hell. That's the language of destruction. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. I explained you that he wanted to become the God of mankind at that time before Adam. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be, he wanted the throne. He wanted the third heaven. That is above the clouds, above all the heavens. And I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That is destruction. This is the law of the order of creation, that anyone who says I will go to Sheol and go to the pit. But those who say your will go to heaven and become a part of eternity. That is the secret to eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding until now? Okay. Stay with me. So, what I said, Satan wants you to speak that language, I will, but never speak that language. You never will. Never will, but you do God's will. So, let's go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 16, 17. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 16, 17. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. These three components the Bible is talking about all came from I will. The lust of the flesh. I want to satisfy myself. I want to become big. I want to become famous. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life, all this came from I will. That is the root of sin. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. Hallelujah. Do you understand something from that scripture? Satan is ruling the world, but how? And that's why it says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What does that mean? That means the world is not of God. The world is of Satan. And the question is, how is Satan ruling the world? By the will of man. The person who says, I will, even Christians who say, I will, Satan finds power through those humans to rule the world. And that's why the Bible says, the world, these are the things of the world, and God has no business with this world. God created this world, but this world is going to be finished up. It's going to be destroyed. We are the citizens of the New Jerusalem. We are the citizens of heaven. The eternal life exists in heaven that is not corrupted by Satan. Hallelujah. Those who wanted to be corrupted, God already threw them down, the one third of the angels, out of heaven. In third heaven, you know, the blood and the water and the spirit comes in agreement to rule the realms of the earth. But to rule the realm of the third heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No will except for their will work in the third heaven. And we are the citizen that is ruled by the will of the Father, of that country, of that city, not of the world that is ruled by the will of man. Hallelujah. But as long as we live on this world, I will come to that. What is the model of prayer? It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are the citizens of heaven being sent as sojourners on earth to bring the will of God, to destroy the will of man. What you and me are doing, the ministry of the word and prayer, I could go in detail to explain you how word and prayer attacks the will of man. How the word, the gospel, which is also the gospel and the prayer ministry, is your will. Your will be done. That is prayer. These two, word and prayer, are weapons that fight the will of man. What I am doing, I am fighting the will of people, bringing them in subjection to the will of God, their minds in subject, because our mind is been conformed to the pattern of the world, which is the will of man, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life. Do we understand the scriptures now? Okay, that's why the Bible says, do not be conformed to that will, but be transformed by the renewal of mind, proving what is the good and the perfect, what? Will of God. So our mind needs to be aligned to not what I will, but what God wills. That is what prayer is. Prayer is what God wills. I have written down something when I was writing, a small quote. I have written down here, if you say you are praying, but you don't do God's will and don't want to know God's will, you are not praying. Praying is doing God's will. Yes, it's Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. It's about His will. And then I come to pray. I have 10 prayer points. And those 10 points are all my will. That is not prayer. That is not prayer. I am not praying at all. Though I am doing, it's a ritual which is not prayer. Because prayer is your will. Jesus said, Lord, if it's possible, take this cup away from me, but not my will. Your will. Your will. Your will. Because that is how he could bring salvation to mankind. The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And verse number 17. We are on 1 John chapter 2, verse number 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever, lives forever. Hallelujah. You will not die. You will live forever if you do God's will. Hallelujah. Everything of the world is passing away. Why? Because, what did I say? The law, it's not subject to God's will. That's why it passes away. Anything that God created originally, anything the hand of God creates, like the hand of God created this pen, the pen is supposed to exist for eternity, because that is the nature of God, eternity. But because this pen said, not your will, God, my will, the pen fell to death. The pen fell to destruction. And it fall down from the eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. God created Adam and Eve for them never to die. There was no word to be manifest as death. Nothing to manifest as death when God, but they said, not your will, Lord. We will do our will. And then death started to work. Are you understanding how death works? How are you understanding how we are separated from eternal life? It says, he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's go to the next scripture. John chapter number 4, verse 34. John chapter number 4, verse 34. Hallelujah, Lord. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That is my food. Hallelujah. Amen. My food is to what? Do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. To do the will of God. To do the will of the Father. So many times Jesus said, I am not doing my own will. My doctrine is not my doctrine. I hear my Father and I say his will to you. I say his voice to you. Hallelujah. You see that is what Jesus came. The truth. Okay. Another word. This is the foundation of Christian life. If any person does not obey these words, is straight away going to hell. Luke chapter number 9, verse 23. Luke chapter number 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, that is, deny his own will. Deny his own will. And take up his cross, how many times? Daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So not only enough, today I said your will, I did his will today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, every day, deny our will to do the will of God. To do the will of God. Many Christians who live in the flesh, they say, oh, we're going to the church, we are helping the poor, we are doing this, we are doing that, we are going night vigil. But are you recognizing the will of God and doing it? Do you see prayer as a model to bombard God with prayer requests? Or do you see prayer as a tool to understand and to do God's will and to ask God's will to happen? Hallelujah. Then other scriptures parallel to that word is Mark 8:34, Matthew 16:24. Whoever wants to follow me, you see, if anyone does not follow Jesus by obeying this command, this scripture, he is not going to heaven. Let me tell you that. Because there are preachers who are getting very aggressive with the doctrine of once saved, forever saved. And how can you go to hell? Once believe in Jesus and go to heaven. Nothing will, and all those things, they are getting very aggressive. And some of the preachers are even cursing people, elderly preachers, pastors. They are cursing these people who are saying that you can lose your salvation. They should die. They should break their head on the wall. They are cursing people from the pulpit, cursing them. And people don't even recognize a preacher cannot curse people. Hallelujah. And they are following that one say, but it's very clear, you know, you will go to heaven only when you follow Jesus, because Jesus walked a pathway, and you need to walk in that pathway, and you can walk in that pathway with doing the first step, and the first step is not doing religious activities. The first step is deny your will. Deny your will. That is the first step. Then only you can take that pathway through which Jesus reached heaven and sat at the right hand of God. That's why he says, follow me. Where he's taking you? He's taking you to the place where he is right now. He said, where I will be, my servant will be also. Where? At his place in heaven. Hallelujah. Be understanding now. Then you can read Matthew's chapter number 6. Matthew's chapter number 6, verse number 9, the model of prayer. Let me read that and go ahead. Matthew 6, verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That earth comprises of everything. Our lives, our family, our job, our business, our ministry, everything that surrounds us. Your will be done. Your will be done. Are we understanding? Okay. Let me take you to another scripture. 1 Kings chapter 3. 3. God does not give and reveals his mystery and the understanding of his word, of his voice, of his precepts, of what he is doing to everyone. But only who submit and do God's will have his voice, okay, will have his wisdom. And that is there in 1 Kings chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 5. Verse number 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you. Now underline the you and yours, before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen. A great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? If you want to understand how to pray, meditate on this prayer of Solomon. That is what will move the heart of God, where you say, you, Lord, for your sake, I am yours, you, not I. I is also the eye of Illuminati, the secret society, the language of Lucifer, the symbol of Lucifer. That is I will, through which Satan has power, through which Satan operates. Hallelujah. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Hallelujah. It pleased the Lord. Whenever anyone does the will of God, says, Lord, your will, I am telling you, you pray like that, every word from your heart, not superficially, just through your mouth, but from your heart, that speech, that prayer will please the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that God bestowed Solomon with wisdom and understanding. He gave the gift of wisdom and understanding. God bestows people with his knowledge, with his wisdom, to those people who are ready to do his will. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. Lord, teach us to do your will. Teach us to do your will. Teach us to do your will, Holy Spirit, to do the will of the Father. And help us to submit to the will of God. Let us examine every area of our life. He said, I will, and repent of speaking that language of I will that can separate us from the eternity of God. Oh, Father, I pray, let your will be done in our lives in Jesus' mighty name. Father, even as we come here, Lord, thank you for your presence, and thank you, Lord, for your covering. Thank you for your utterance, Lord. Lord, your will be done, Lord. Even as Jesus, he was in pressure. His sweat were like drops of blood in that situation, in that pressure. He did not say, I want to go out. He said, let your will be done. Whatever situation we are, help us to seek your will and help us to do your will, O God, my Lord. And because the Bible says, he who do your will, those who do your will abide forever. Will abide forever. Hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord. Even this time and sitting in this meeting and listening to this word was your will, Lord. And Lord, even as we end this meeting, Lord, throughout the week, that we will walk in your will. We will do your will. We will know your will in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we want to thank you once again. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.